Good morning. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that a man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks thus, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down? Or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? At the first, Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who sought me not. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But as for Israel, he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Amen. So chapter 10 is a continuation of the end of chapter 9, and it's the success of the gospel, you know, being preached to the Gentiles, and the rejection of the gospel again to the Israelites. And so in chapter 10, the beginning here, Paul is lamenting the fact that the Israelites, you know, are still rejecting the message. And he'll start off, you know, in this whole part, and verse 2, right, it says, I bear them witness, they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. You know, this is really a tragic, tragic statement. You know, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, they have a passion for God. I mean, they want to do the right things, but it's not according to knowledge. Can you imagine how empty your life would be at the end of your life? You gave everything you had, but yet it wasn't according to knowledge. You know, I remember a long time ago, this guy said to me, not a guy, but I heard a guy preach, and he says, you know, what if you baked God apple pies your whole life? That's all you did, right? You just baked God apple pies. And then you died and went to heaven, and you realized God didn't like apple pies, right? That God liked cherry pies. You know, how would you feel? And I think, you know, that pretty much wraps up this sentiment here, right? You know, he says, I bet these guys have a zeal for God, but yet not according to knowledge. You know, and I wonder how many times in the church, you know, people can be so passionate about certain things, but yet it wasn't God's heart, right? And it wasn't God's will, and it wasn't according to his knowledge. And it would seem like a waste, you know. The sad thing for me is when I think about passages like this, I think about the cults, you know, just so passionate, right? I used to listen to, in Southern California, Christian radio is prevalent. I mean, it's everywhere. And I used to regularly listen to this show called The Bible Answer Man. Some of you guys may have heard, right? It used to be Dr. Walter Martin, and he used to always conclude his broadcast by saying, are you willing to do for the truth what the cults do for a lie? You know, and that always so convicting, like, yeah, we have the truth, but man, we're lazy. You know, these guys have a lie, and man, they're diligent. you know, and witnessing and going out, you know, and I mean, the verse 2 really sums up, right? They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, right? And so what does that zeal mean? Paul's saying it means nothing, right? It means absolutely nothing. And I think that way, you know, we ought to be very aware, right, that what we do, no matter how much heart or passion we put into it, right, is in accordance to God's will. And so he continues on, you know, talking about, in essence, the failure of Israel, right? And then in verse 9 and 10, this is like the standard witnessing, you know, verses. And in fact, chapter 10 is really, a lot of it is a chapter on witnessing or the importance of witnessing. You know, and he says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, right? And so, you know, if you're ever witnessing to someone, right, that's why we ask him to confess with the mouth. You believe in your heart, and you confess with your mouth. Why? Because it says, with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, but with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation, right? And so you always just keep that in your register of your mind, right? You believe in your heart, and you confess with your mouth. You know, it's not enough just to believe in your heart. There's got to be a confession, you know, that flows from our mouth, right? And in verse 13, it talks about the importance of witnessing. Now, don't take this verse out of context, okay? Because, you know, in other words, this verse, it can't sit on its elf. You'll miss the meaning, right? For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, if you take it by it, So let's say, you know, someone says, okay, I call upon Jesus. Is that person saved? No, of course not, right? Because then you read what Paul says later on, right? He says, and how should they call upon him whom they have not believed? So you have to believe, right? You believe and then you call. Before you get to the believe part, how they believe in whom they have not heard? They have to hear, right? And how will they hear without a preacher? There needs to be a witness. And how should they preach unless someone is sent, right? So someone needs to go. Right, and so you follow this pattern, right? You know, when you think about it, they must have a witness, right? The lost cannot be saved without a witness. They must have a witness to hear. They must hear to believe. They must believe to call, and they must call to be saved, right? And so Paul is kind of laying out a strategy, right? This is why the importance of us to witness. You know, in this passage, right? The hinge. You know, I mean, the focal point is really us. You know, I mean, obviously the focal point is Jesus, right? Because he's the one who saves. But God is in partnership with us. You know, and then he draws the point out and he says, look, faith comes from hearing, the hearing by the word of Christ. You know, and so every single one of us, we play an integral part, right, of someone that's able to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. You know, but the calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved, you know, there's a pattern, you know, that comes alongside. You know, I think a few weeks ago I talked about the Engel scale, you know, that there's these, you know, going from 0 to 10, 10 meaning you're saved, right? We move people along the scale. And I think Paul basically is articulating this scale, I should say, the scale, Engel, you know, the missiologist is articulating what Paul is saying here, right? That we're moving people along, right? And by hearing. Now, we like to think that it takes, you know, someone can hear the gospel one time and it's a done deal, you know, but we know most times it's not true, you know? I mean, for me, I probably first heard the gospel when I was in junior high school, you know, and, you know, went to church, I mean, once in a while, right? Especially when they had events, you know, going on, you know, or particularly sporting events going on. You know, and then, you know, it took my junior year in college before I gave my life to the Lord, you know. Without a conservative figure, I probably heard the gospel 1,000 times, you know, in that period of time. You know, the Holy Spirit, God does something in that. And so it's the necessity, absolute necessity for us, you know, every single one of us, you know, to be a witness. You know, and that's in many different layers, right? To be a witness, in essence, to be able to speak that word out to people, you know, and also be a witness in the sense that we live our life. All right, but to live our life, and I don't want to get you confused, right? I know, you know, we hear like quotes from Francis of Assisi. It says, you know, always preach the gospel when you have to use words, right? Always preach the gospel with your life and use words as well, right? Because the whole idea of being a witness is actually to intrigue the person to ask, what is the hope that lies within you? You know, and then that's where the witness, you know, that's where we come into the picture. And we can share with our mouths, you know, exactly the hope that is within us, you know, and then things, you know, are manifest, you know, come out of that way, right? Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, how will they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how they shall believe in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? You know, it's kind of like this pattern, you know, or almost kind of like a stepping stone that people go through to come to the place of faith. And so where does faith? Faith comes from hearing, right? There's always a witness at the other end of this thing, you know. And the witness, I mean, and sometimes it doesn't necessarily have to be a person, right? It could be the scriptures as well. You know, I've heard of many stories. A friend of mine who's a missions pastor in Washington, you know, he sent a team to China years ago, and he was relaying this story to me about this group of people, this village that was experiencing revival. And what had happened in this village was that some person found some pages of the New Testament. It happened to be the Book of Mark on the side of the road, you know, in Chinese, you know, just... And they picked it up and started reading reading Mark and memorized it and just started teaching it, you know, in the village, and revival broke out. People were getting healed. Signs and wonders were happening, you know, and this was done exclusively without a human witness, you know. But in this case, the witness was the scriptures, you know. And then, you know, later on, missiologists came in and, you know, they're trying to figure out, wow, this great success story, what happened? Right, but faith comes from hearing, right? And the words that are spoken are the words of Christ, right? So it's important for us, right, that we embody Christ in our living, you know, and then we embody Christ in our speaking as well, right? And, you know, let me, as a challenge, right, you know, to you guys that are here this morning, you know, you should be able to share the gospel with people, right, in a simple conversation, right? You should be able to, as a Christian, you know, as a believer, you know, and follower of Christ, you should be able to very easily, you know, share the simple, you know, tenets of the gospel, you know, in like 5 sentences. You know, it doesn't take a long, you know, a query, you know, and I mean, obviously there are more intricate, you know, questions and things that come up, but in terms of just a basic, bare gospel, right, we should be able to share very easily with people, you know, and part of that would also include your testimony, you know. And if you can't do that, then I encourage you to go back into the Word, right, and figure it out, basically, right. And if you need help, you can come talk to me, right. But every single one of us, right, we should be very easily able to share the gospel, you know. And so much so, put it in this perspective, right, if someone comes up to you and says, well, how do you become a Christian, right? You should be able to explain very, very easily, you know, how that is. Or how can anyone get saved? Then you can just quote, yeah, wow, I just learned it this morning. It's Romans 10, 9 and 10, right? You know, you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, right, that you'll be saved, right? And, you know, I mean, just simple things like that, where every believer, right, you need to have an arsenal, you know, weapons at your disposal. What are these weapons? It's scriptures, right? This is why we ask everyone to do GIC, right? You know, you finish GIC, man, you got 13 weapons, you know, simple little scriptures, right, that arm you, that are part of your arsenal now, that are part of your warfare, you know, before the Lord. And then, you know, and so you think that Paul is, like, this is a good thing, right? Paul is ending this part, but then he goes back to the failure of Israel again, you know, and he concludes, it says, but as for Israel, he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. And I'll conclude chapter 10 like this. So let's close our eyes. It's the word of faith, that brings salvation. The Lord. And so this morning, can I challenge you, huh? Can I challenge you to be a witness? You know, and we've talked about this many times at church, right? A witness is, you know, I don't want you to get the idea it's like a courtroom, you know, and oh yeah, I witnessed, I saw something. You know, the New Testament idea, the biblical idea of witness, it goes far beyond that. A witness is someone that not just sees and experiences something and then is able to give a testimony, but a witness is someone that actually is willing to die for what they've seen or experienced. All right, the word witness comes from the word martyr, martus, which is the word martyr comes from. So it's not just someone that just saw something. It's someone that's willing to die what they saw or experience. That's a witness. So can I invite you this morning to commit yourself to be a witness for the Lord? Not only have you seen and experienced, but you can share what you've seen and experienced with somebody else. And as Mooney leads us in a song, let's meditate on that. Let's pray that we'd be a faithful witness before the Lord. Let's pray that God would give us opportunities to express our faith with people. If your heart, if your heart is to minister to people, God will bring opportunities your way. You'd be surprised how many opportunities come. If your heart is to bring people to the Lord, God will release those opportunities to you. And so let's pray for a heart to be that witness and to articulate that witness to people. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that's in need. You can look on the screen and you'll see all the different prayer requests. Ones that are dealing with cancer, tumors, and with chemo. Thanks for praying for my aunt the other day. The procedure was successful. They find out in a month how successful it was, but she's doing much better after this, and so appreciate the prayers. Continue to lift up our community in that way. Let's pray for our community that are sick, but also need to be saved, need that word of salvation in their life. And let's lift them up. Let's pray for the ones that are sick and the ones that are looking for work. Let's ask the Lord to bless. With our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for our local ministries today. Let's pray for Face to Face, Sanction College, Feed the Hungry, and CSW. Let's ask God to bless the leaders and use them to make an impact here in Hong Kong and throughout Asia. Let's lift them up. pray for our church ministry. So let's ask God to bless our welcome hospitality team and our barista ministry, these guys that are serving the front lines every Sunday to our guests that are coming. Let's pray for God's hand to be with them. Pray for the leaders, Leanne, Pastor Eugene, and Bonnie. Let's ask the Lord to touch and really equip them to be a blessing to people this Sunday. Let's cover this weekend before the Lord. Now let's ask God's hand to be with us. Let's pray for our services this weekend, both services. Pray in the morning for Noah's Ark and all the teachers and volunteers. Pray for the youth group, their Bible study in the morning. Pray for IP, pre-service prayer, and the worship teams as they lead, and the well after the service. Let's just ask the Lord just to cover this Sunday that many people would come to the Lord and just be refreshed and touched by Him. Our member prayer focus, and let's pray for Janice Chan. Let's pray for the breakthroughs in her life, over finances, relationships, passion. Let's pray for her friend Denise, that there is another recurrence of cancer in her life. Let's pray for the Lord to move upon her. Let's lift up Janice. Pray for Jeanette, pray for a deeper relation with the Lord, direction, guidance in her career, and a God-centered relationship. Let's lift her up. And lastly, let's pray for Janine Basaraba. Pray for just the effects that she's feeling from the chemo, with her sleep and cramps and nausea. Let's ask the Lord to cover her, continue recovery for the whole family during this time. Open doors in Nanjing for her and Leanne, and a new work among the poor this year. Let's just continue to lift her up. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you, God, for the opportunities, God, that you give us, Lord, every day, God, to be a witness, Lord. And we want to witness through our lives, God. We want to witness through our speech, Lord. And so I pray that you would continue to empower your people, God, Lord, to carry on and further the work of the kingdom of God, Lord, in Hong Kong and our families and our workplaces, God, wherever you send us, Father. Lord, help us to be faithful, God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. Just watch over us, God, the rest of this weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys today. I hope you have a great day. Tomorrow, again, after each service, the morning and afternoon, after the benediction, you can make your way up to the front, and we'll be breaking the fast together. The pastoral staff will be up here to pray for you, as well as your house church leaders. And then Monday through Wednesday is Chinese New Year, and so there's no EMP. It's a holiday. And so we'll come back on Thursday morning. We start our morning prayers again, right? So hope you guys have a good Chinese New Year as well. So we'll see you guys tomorrow at church.